The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
I'm Wesley Morris.
I'm Jenna Wortham.
I'm a writer for the New York Times.
So am I.
This is Still Processing, a podcast by the people who work at the New York Times.
I think it could be super simple. I'm Wesley Morris.
I know.
I'm Jenna
Wortham.
We're two culture writers at the New York Times, and this is Still Processing.
Great.
I'm Wesley Morris.
I'm Jenna Wortham.
We're culture writers of the New York Times.
Welcome to Still Processing.
Oh! What was that sound? That was the sound of a podcast launching. She's just human energy.
He's as luxurious as a 1,000-count pair of organic linen sheets.
She's a personal trainer for your soul.
Like, you know when you go into a coffee shop or a bakery and they cut you a slice of cake and it's, like, slightly larger than the cake that you thought you were going to get?
Sometimes when you're sort of emotionally constipated, she is your laxative.
So basically, Wesley is a very generously cut slice of dark chocolate forest cake. I want to be inside that piece of cake. That is how I feel about him. It's true. That's what I tell my friends.
I love you too. I can't believe we're doing a podcast together.
Me either. I mean, this is great. Look, we're going to meet every week. We're going to talk about our feelings. What else are we going to do?
Let's see. We're going to talk about popular culture. We're going to talk about our feelings about popular culture, about life, about the world, about, like, I don't know, all the stuff that sticks with us and sticks with people that listen to the show that we can't shake. You and I write all the time, but we don't really get to talk in our writing. It's like writing, it's typing. But this is a show. You and I can just sit in front of a microphone and work it out.
For sure. And it won't always just be us. If we're really obsessed with someone, we're actually going to go call them or bring them in and we're going to talk to them about the thing. Or if we can't stop thinking about an idea, hello, Drake and Rihanna fanfic all day, then we're going to call up one of our brilliant friends and have them come and talk to us about that too.
I can't wait. But before we do that, we got to redo that busted ass intro.
Let's give it another try.
We'll do it again. It's going to be great. I'm going to take the champagne bottle, whack it on the side of the ship.
Yes.
Ready?
Here we go.
I'm Wesley Morris.
I'm Jenna Wortham.
We're two culture writers here at the New York Times.
And this is Still Processing.
Let's do it.
Let go. So, Wesley.
Yeah.
What's top of your mind, top of your feeds this week? Like, what have you been thinking about and what's really sticking with you?
I'm supposed to say, like, some amazing work of popular culture. But the thing that I can't stop thinking about, and it's a little bit of a messy intersection of all of this stuff, but the Colin Kaepernick situation, Leslie Jones, who is finally back on Twitter after having left, which we can explain in a second. And just this question of what we're talking about when we're talking about black people taking a symbolic stand against something.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick is the 49ers quarterback. Wasn't having a really very interesting past two seasons. Went to the Super Bowl in 2013 and decided to sit during the national anthem during a preseason game. Now, there is a national anthem optics police that is apparently working on black people.
On black people right now, absolutely.
Because when Donald Trump doesn't put his hand over his heart for the national anthem,
like, no one nobody says registers. Anything.
When Tom Brady doesn't put his hand in, this is like documented stuff.
Right.
When the two shot putters, the gold and silver medalists, don't put their hands over their heart for the national anthem, nobody says anything.
No one bats an eye.
Gabby Douglas.
However, our dear, sweet national treasure, Gabby Douglas
just like crossed her arms during
it's
the
also is chilling.
It wasn't like
Have,
she
like the sweetest serene smile on her face.
Okay, so
it's chilling.
Colin Kaepernick, while the rest of the team is standing,
yes,
is seated.
Right,
and it turns out
it
was a silent protest.
Absolutely.
So America goes crazy. I don't mean like sports America.
No. The world implodes. Basically.
I think the president last week. In China, doing his job. You know how these things. He's always out of the country, by the way, when this stuff happens.
He is.
Always.
Oh my God, you're right.
Just about, except for Trayvon, and maybe some stuff during Ferguson.
He's always overseas.
He's
though.
Somewhere else
someone,
when he has like, to comment
someone, like,
on this.
Someone spirits him away. They're like, President.
Oh, you got to
get like,
out
wake
of here
him
for
up,
this.
And they're like, we've got the.
So
the
somebody.
Jet fuel.
Well, first of all, it becomes a national incident. Colin Kaepernick basically says, I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. And he said this after this pregame. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street, people getting paid leave, and getting away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Step one, like, a lot.
So he has a counter-symbolic thing to offer that isn't the national anthem. I don't have a problem with this. I probably would have done it a different way. But the whole point, and you know, many people have said this a billion times, it's like he has this right to do this. It's not about, okay, we're not talking about his right to do it. We should actually be talking about, and this is the thing that's driving me crazy, mm-hmm. we're not actually talking about what he actually wants to happen.
Right.
He wants to bring attention to the injustice of American racism.
Yeah.
But instead,
well, not even just the injustice of American racism, but you know, our inability to let go of the relics that mm-hmm. have embodied the racism that has defined this country from the beginning. There is this sort of awakening, right? That we're kind of having these waves of awakening and these waves of reckoning with these institutions and these things we don't think about. Like, no one thinks about the fact when you sing the national anthem, what it's actually about. Now, someone out there who deserves a raise gave Colin a copy of Roots or a copy of Native Son. I don't know what it is.
They took his barber away. His barber went on vacation. All
Someone
his barbers
slipped him a pamphlet.
Because Colin Kaepernick was not looking was like Colin Kaepernick no. now. Like Colin Kaepernick in Super Bowl 2013.
Right.
Nice, tight, short.
So you think he damn. Went even more natural.
We have to introduce the Rodney Harrison problem.
Okay.
Rodney Harrison conveniently played for the New England Patriots,
mm-hmm.
now a commentator for NBC.
Right.
Decides to go on Twitter and say Colin Kaepernick's not black. So,
okay.
Yeah, I know.
That's
Take your breath.
Thing. That's a whole other thing.
Rodney Harrison, fine brother.
Okay, I'm going to Google him later.
You should. You'll be happy. Mm-hmm. What you won't be happy with is the fact that, I mean, this is just one of those things where, and you can discuss this because you're lighter skinned than I am.
I wanted to, but this is my question to you, actually. This is great.
Fighting to prove your exact blackness by how like non-dark you are.
Yeah.
I think Colin Kaepernick, I mean, I don't want to be too, I'm not being cynical at all. I'm saying it is really important for him to be as taken as seriously as he can be.
Yeah.
I think the Malcolm X baseball cap, the Malcolm meets Castro t-shirt.
I love it.
The giant afro. How does he get the afro in the helmet? The afro is bigger than the helmet.
The afro is bigger than the helmet. Yeah, I know. Did Howard put some of its like classes online? Like, what is Colin? What is he doing in his spare time? Like, I just feel like
he's a really interesting guy. Actually.
Yeah,
he really truly is.
Yeah.
I mean, he was interesting before this happened.
So wait, so you think that the commentator was trying to delegitimize him because he's biracial and has white adoptive parents, or
Rodney Harrison?
Yeah,
there was no context to that, but you know,
That's
as a black
what
person,
he was...
what. Rodney Harrison is probably not alone in
He was like, we don't claim him.
Colin Kaepernick, raised by white people, adopted by white people,
mm-hmm.
biracial himself.
Mm-hmm.
I read something where his biological mother was coming after him saying this was
But
this
his
was
adopted
not a right
parents
thing to do.
Were like, we support him.
Yes.
Yes.
So. And so I think there is this energy around like what black people even get to speak for black people.
That's right.
And I think that is insane. Colin Kaepernick is putting a lot of stuff on the line, and he's now giving $1 million away.
Is he putting a lot of stuff on the line, though? Like, you said in the intro,
okay.
like, his season's not going that well.
His previous two
Buku
seasons
DeLaris
hadn't gone
that
well.
So what but, is at risk here?
Well, for one thing is personal safety, I would say.
Okay.
The conversation around Kaepernick got twisted up in the idea that he was anti-military, anti-American military became part of this stance.
And then that's such a hashtag right now, too. It's like veterans for Kaepernick.
Right.
You know
so the veterans,
so
of course,
the veterans
come
are
out
like,
and,
no,
and
we're
come
with
to
you.
Support Colin Kaepernick.
Which is amazing. Like,
right.
like that's also amazing.
But the problem is when this guy goes out to play, I would like to think this isn't the case, but I think that there's going to be an extra interest in going after him. Now, this is a guy who leaves the pocket frequently in football. That basically is when you leave your protected zone to,
mm-hmm.
to throw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really athletic. He can run, slide into you know, first down or whatever. I think he should stay in the pocket this year.
He needs to stay in the pocket and stay
protected.
It is
antithetical to the way he plays.
Assuming his team will even want him in the pocket. I mean,
no,
that's like, you know.
I think that the 49ers, for the most part, have his back. I mean, he and another, like, for the second week of this stance, there were two guys kneeling. Megan Rapinoe, the American mm-hmm. soccer player, has also taken a knee. I think this is the beginning of something. When the NBA season starts in November, I guarantee you, you're going to see some stuff. I think you're on award show alert. Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson.
I think you're right. And I think what I've been thinking a lot about is sort of what's been incited or what's been kind of sparked mm-hmm. by social justice online and Black Lives Matter online. And it's a lot safer now. I mean, I know that maybe Kaepernick will be in danger in some way, but I think
he'll be in physical danger. And maybe and the Santa Clara police don't even want to, like,
I know that was
games.
But see, that's so interesting too, because then it's like this idea too that American police get to decide who they protect is also so embedded in like such a racist idea
this
institution.
Is exactly
it's like maddening.
This is what he's talking about.
Proving the point. But I think there's something, it's a lot safer to be a public activist right now than it used to be, because you are gonna have that reinforcement online. And I think in the past it would have been easy to say, like, outrage, burning Kaepernick jerseys, like protesting Beyonce. And now I think you can go online and be like, for, you know, as many people are as angry are supporting this. And I feel like that's the sort of like I feel like there's this big question in the ether, like, what's going to be the lasting legacy of the Black Lives Matter movement? And I think this is it. I think that you'll start to see this wave that you're talking about of very public facing figures feel emboldened to take political stands because they know that they have that reinforcement online, and they can say, well, this is demonstrably, like, it's not just about, like, how many letters came into the station. It's like, no, veterans, for, you know, veterans or Kaepernick hashtags get started.
Here's my question, though. Where's this going?
We're like, not going to know. We're not going to know for decades.
Because I feel like the one thing we haven't talked about in all of this, and the thing that sort of slips through the cracks, is what happens when the sort of endemic racism, the things that a person like Colin Kaepernick is trying to bring attention to my mind, don't get enough attention, which is something like what happened to Leslie Jones.
Right.
Who simply starred in Ghostbusters.
Like, simply took
a role,
picked up an ectoplasmic gun and shot it.
Right.
All she did.
Had an active Twitter life, was fun to follow on Twitter, star of Saturday Night Live. Around the time of the Ghostbusters release, she was harassed basically online by Milo Yiannopoulos, what do we call him?
A troll.
Professional troll. She was going to leave Twitter. Twitter said, don't go. We'll try to take care of this for
you. You're giving Twitter a lot of credit. So Jack Dorsey reaches out to Leslie Jones to say, how can we work with you on this? But I think at the same time, they were receiving a lot of criticism about not helping her previously.
So,
they did reach out to her. But I think that was motivated by their own desire to look as concerned about Leslie Jones as they are about Taylor Swift and whoever other white celebrity that they tend to preemptively protect against harassment.
So, but Leslie Jones, and this is a thing that sort of brings the Gabby Douglas, Colin Kaepernick thing together, which is that these are people who are, and they've said this about Colin Kaepernick especially, I wish it were somebody else taking this stance. I wish it were Aaron Rodgers who were saying he would take
that?
A knee.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh,
help me out here. Who is Aaron Rodgers?
Jenna.
Who is that?
This show's going to be so amazing.
Help me.
Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, how would I know that? Why would I know that?
He's pals about town with Livia Munn. Does that mean anything to you?
I mean, I know who she is. All I've seen her work. But, like, why would you rather him take a stand?
I wouldn't rather. I'm Colin
That's
Kaepernick.
What you just said.
No, I'm saying that people are saying this.
Oh, okay. Why
people
would they
are
rather
looking for
him take a stand?
A more ideal person. Because Colin Kaepernick isn't that great a quarterback.
Yeah. Like, how black
is
he?
We don't even know if he's black.
We don't even know. Well, this was the thing with Jesse Williams, though. When Jesse Williams stood up at the BET Awards and made a speech about the lack of diversity in Hollywood, when he was talking about, like, relating that to police brutality and sort of, like, violence against black people, he gave a beautiful, brilliant, scathing speech.
I give him,
easy
on
the
eyes. Props for that speech.
And the response was,
Jesse Williams is very handsome.
There was this idea that he's benefiting from light skin privilege.
Even among black people, there are some equality issues.
There are ideas of hierarchy.
Based on lookism.
Based on looks. And the feedback immediately was like, and I won't say criticism, but I think there was this big discussion that, like, should Jesse Williams be the spokesperson on behalf of Black people in this way? Because the speech was so widely passed around.
Yes. And so he is a not exactly ideal microphone, megaphone.
Or is he? I don't know.
In the eyes of some people who want the most essential seeming person to speak on their behalf. I don't think any Black person is like, why can't it be Aaron Rodgers? But I do think that there is this sense that for people who are looking to get behind this cause, they feel like they're not getting behind the cause Colin Kaepernick wants us to pay attention to.
That's right.
They're getting behind Colin Kaepernick, right? So there are people who are like, I'd have a much better time dealing with this if the person doing it were like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Who,
oh, boy.
For what it's worth, has a Donald Trump situation in his locker at work.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Well, wait. Here's my question for you, though. I mean, one of the things, you know, when Muhammad Ali passed away earlier this year, you know, there was a lot of discussion around how this, like, reverence around him, and, you know, he was just a great American, and we just, you know, he was just iconic and emblematic of everything we want our country to be, which was not the reality of what it was like when he was young and he was sort of being incredibly political and incredibly critical of America. I mean, people hated that about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the same thing happened when John Carlos and Tommy Smith, who were the Olympian runners who raised their fist during the Olympics when they stood up to accept their awards and were, you know, heavily criticized after that. But now, again, they both have statues in the Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture, which is not open yet, but which I snuck into last week when I was in D.C.
Stop. You keep bringing this up.
I know, I keep bragging about it because I'm so proud. But no, but I'm saying, like, but we look at those figures, right? Those are, like, these iconic moments in history. These are some of the most, like, the, you know, these were big, big turning points, we feel, for activism, but they were not viewed that way during their time. So what I'm wondering is, how are we going to look back at Leslie Jones, let's say, Colin Kaepernick? I mean, are these going to be turning points? Are these going to be visual moments?
Kaepernick is definitely going to be, he has pushed us into a zone where he's not asking for peace or peacefulness. He is protesting. This is an active protest. He is not asking, he's not calling for unity. He's not asking why we can't get, he's like, I'm not getting along until we're dealing with this situation.
Right, right.
But he's not refusing to do, he's not on strike, right?
He's not on strike, right.
He is doing his job, but he's using the proceeds of the job he's doing to try to benefit some of these organizations that stand with the cause he wants to support. The thing about Leslie Jones, and this is what I was trying to say about optics and ideal people, is that Leslie Jones is doing something that I think is maybe the most dangerous thing of all.
Yeah, absolutely.
She is a tall, dark-skinned Black woman with a big mouth who does not care what people think.
Right, right.
She wouldn't be working 70 years ago. And if she were working, she'd be playing maids, she'd be playing housekeepers, she'd be playing mammies.
And this
is now a person who refuses to do any of that.
Absolutely.
While looking exactly like the people that the entertainment industry only wanted to do three jobs.
Yeah,
before.
That's right.
And I think that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Her whole shtick with Colin Jost on SNL is about hundreds of years of people who look like Leslie
Racial
Jones
equality, basically. Yeah.
Scaring people who look like Colin Jost.
Okay, now Leslie, so you want guys to send you pictures of their junk?
You're damn right I do, you tingly white crisp strip thing. I just want to have you in all night.
Oh. Well. Right back at you, you delicious chocolate.
No, stop.
No? Okay.
Stop. It only works when I do it.
I get that.
When I do it,
I apologize.
Works.
And it's very interesting because Leslie Jones is something, I mean, she's a phenomena that Black people don't know how to feel about.
Right. This is what I'm
like,
saying.
This is the thing. Like,
she
people
has
don't
taken
know.
This thing that we have been institutionalized to find problematic and is actively but unwittingly problematizing.
Right.
She's not like holding press conferences about like this performance art she's doing. This is just who she is. And what she is an affront to everybody. And that is what makes her both dangerous and exciting and extremely lovable. But at the end of the day, she's a human being. And when you attack her and you cut her, she bleeds.
Right.
And so when these guys go after her personal website, they deface it
and release information from it.
Steal things from it and release it to the public. I mean, what can she do?
I mean, she's amazing, you know, because she comes back and she says, can't keep me down. Unfortunately, I'm not I'm not a stranger to these insults, and like, I'm not going to ever stop. And that's like, I want to like chef's kiss to what Leslie Jones for that, because that's the only, you cannot feed trolls. You cannot let them win.
Leave and those trolls under the bridge.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of incredible that she came back and so resilient, and so many white allies spoke out on her behalf, which is really like huge, I think, because that helps people understand that like,
you don't, right. I don't really want to go into all of this, but like, I think that is important. It can't, I mean, it needs to be everybody recognizing that this is a problem and it has to stop.
Yeah.
It can't, absolutely. It can't just be like Gabrielle Union and right. Beyonce and, you know, the whole like Taraji Henson and like it has to
it
be.
It has to be. Everybody has to acknowledge to like, this is not okay.
This is not okay.
This treatment of, is not okay.
Like whether it's Leslie Jones or, you know, or Beyonce or Alicia Keys, we have to stand up for all of the people who, I mean, and this is the thing about Leslie Jones being imperfect. It's that her thing is all about confrontation.
Right.
But you're right. It has to be, it needs to, there need to be more than us doing that. Do you want to get in a good mood?
Oh.
Let's get in a good mood.
I'm not in a bad mood, but.
I mean, I'm not in a bad mood, but I am, my blood pressure's up.
Okay, I've got just the thing. So Tika Sumter's here, and she plays Michelle Obama in South Side With You. And she wants to come tell us about, you know, first dates, good dates, and best of all, bad dates.
I would love to talk about that with her.
But first, Wesley Morris, can we pay our bills? Can we pay our telephone bills?
I don't think you do. So you and me are... getting paid.
Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum. Okay, so we want to keep the show going, so we're going to pay our bills. Stick around. We'll be right back.
There's something undefinable that beckons travelers back to the greater Fort Myers area in Southwest Florida year after year. It feels like bare feet on soft white sand beaches that give way to gently lapping waves. It looks like the breathtaking abundance of wildlife. Colorful birds, dolphins, manatees, and more, dwelling in lush mangrove ecosystems and translucent Gulf waters. It tastes like fresh coastal cuisine served at sunset at a waterfront restaurant. What will draw you back to Fort Myers? Go to visitfortmyers.com for more inspiration.
My name is Thomas Gibbsneff. I'm a journalist at the New York Times. I served in the Marine Corps as an infantryman. When it comes to reporting on the front line, a lot of the same basics are at play. You're looking at the map of where you're going. If you're on a paved road, field roads, you know, is there a hospital nearby? Is your body armor affixed with a first aid kit? Does everyone know where that first aid kit is? We arrive into a military position. I get out of the car. I look at my watch. You know, I set a timer, no more than an hour. I'm listening for drones, jets, check in with the team. Is everyone comfortable? And if they are, then we proceed. Frontline reporting is dangerous, but I think nothing is more important than talking to the people involved, you know, hearing their stories and being able to connect that with people thousands of miles away. Anything that can make something like this more personal, I think, is well worth the risk. New York Times subscribers make it possible for us to keep doing this vital coverage. If you'd like to subscribe, you can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
So we've got a really cute convo coming up with Tika Sumter from Southside With You about bad dates.
But first, you and I went on a date ourselves. We took a little stroll through Central Park.
Did you bring me flowers?
I don't bring anybody flowers. If that's a thing you need.
That's what I need. I love fresh flowers.
Just play it, Henry.
Roll the tape.
Yeah. Can we talk about the people in the line for Shakespeare in the Park, by the way? Like, it's not just a bunch of, like, old Upper East Siders. It is New York that's in the line for Shakespeare in the Park. Who should we interrupt? How long have they been in this line? Who's the man under the sleeping bag? It's hot. Should we tell him?
No, he's good. He's not. First of all, he's under a tree with a sign, which is very official. The tree has a sign on it, so he's fine.
You need to sort of, have you seen who's in the line to see Twelfth Night?
Do you think they paid people to wait for them and they just came conveniently like an hour ago?
Is that service in New York? I just would never do that.
I'll give you 25 more.
I would never do that.
This is where you and I diverge, my friend. Of course. That's my favorite thing about New York. Everything's on demand.
Sir, can we ask you a question really quickly?
How are you?
Hi, I'm Wes.
I'm Jenna.
This is Jenna. We saw you in the line over here. How long have you been waiting?
Since 6:30.
In the morning? Okay.
So
excited.
Are you on taking a date or with your family or?
No, I'm just getting it. Me and my daughter. And it's going to be for her and her mom.
Oh, my God. You're a guardian angel. What's your name?
Joaquin.
Joaquin.
So nice,
nice to meet you. This is really... See, I was saying that I want to stand in the park line.
Yeah.
And Jenna is like, no,
I would have like my friends do it, and then I'd come at the last hour. But I also... Everything you've just described is so sweet, it's changing my mind.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now. I don't really want to, but I have no choice.
Because you're a good human.
Because you're a good father.
You're a good father.
Your daughter wanted it.
Yeah.
And her mom.
What's your favorite Shakespeare in the Park?
So I liked the one with Al Pacino. Years ago.
Was that Merchant of Venice?
One. Yeah.
Where in New York do you live?
I live on 110th Street, the east side.
Okay. So this is like a nice commute. It's not. Yeah, it's not bad.
Walk in, walk back.
Thank you for talking with us. No
thank you.
Thanks. Have a
great enjoy your show.
You too.
Have a beautiful afternoon.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Cool.
Yeah, okay, see?
Oh my God.
So?
All right.
You get to sit next to Lakeem.
His beautiful family.
And his beautiful family and wait for Twelfth Night. I mean.
Okay.
You want to pay somebody to have that experience?
Yes, 100%. Honey, because I'd still get the end of it.
It's true.
We're different. Listen, we're cut from the same cloth, but the designs are very different. And that's okay. Let's keep it moving and grooving.
All right, sticking with that first date theme, I'm going to bring in somebody who knows a whole lot about first dates, the lovely, the extra lovely Tika Sumpter, actress, producer, activist, member of the Have and Have Nots ensemble on Oprah Winfrey's own network, and mother-to-be. She also plays Michelle Robinson, the young corporate lawyer and the future Mrs. Obama in the film South Side With You, a walk-and-talk courtship movie about the Obamas' first date. Welcome to Still Processing, Tika.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here with you guys. I feel really smart in the New York Times.
Yes.
Podcast Center.
Own it.
We're about to take that down about 30 IQ points. Unfasten that seatbelt.
Okay.
I take it off.
How are you?
I'm really good.
Yeah?
I'm really good. I'm just here with a big old belly.
I know.
You look great.
Thank you. You're glowing.
What do we know
like,
about
people can
this?
See from space.
There's a human inside of
okay.
me.
Thank God, because if there wasn't, you'd be Halle Berry on that TV show.
Yeah.
And nobody wants
the alien
to
show.
Have,
I love that show. Extant. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's a girl.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah. So girl power. And I'm just excited to talk about whatever, you know, anything. I'm here.
Let's just get down to it, Tika.
Okay, love.
Because South Side With You is a movie about a wonderful first date.
Yeah.
We want to go in the opposite direction and talk about bad first dates.
Yeah.
I've had some. You've had some. I know you've had some because I've
course.
Heard.
Yeah.
And I mean, clearly, you're a human being.
Right. It's so crazy because I don't know if I block out first dates. I try to keep the dates short in the beginning.
Right.
I do because if I don't like you,
no.
then.
So you know when you get there.
Oh, I know. Like, I know
when you show up,
after
you know.
A glass of wine, I definitely know.
There's, okay. a, like, there's a plan for
yeah,
escape
there's a plan.
If needed.
There's no, like, dinner. Mm. It's
yeah.
like, we're having one glass of wine.
Right.
And I'm going to let you know, like, you know, you're going to know it's not going to work. Well, nice to meet you.
Right.
You know, this was fun.
Yeah. Oh, that face.
Yeah.
It's like, it's sincere and yet...
Final.
She's getting up.
There's no question
She's
about what's happening.
She's definitely getting up from this table.
The check has already been paid.
Right.
Like, here you go.
Oh, yes. I
here.
Did have one of those, actually.
Yes.
It wasn't a date, but it was like a guy that I hung out with at one point in my life. And we were meeting. I hope he never hears this. But we were meeting.
Oh, he won't.
He came into town. He was moving to a new place. And, you know, he's like, oh, let's meet up. Let's get, you know, have some... food, you know, I was like, well, cool. I'm at this restaurant, but we're at a bar and just come and we'll order some food or whatever. So he came and I was like, oh my God, so good to see you. And we were talking. He ordered food and drinks and all this stuff, right? the bill came, and you know the bill just sits there, and you're like,
what's gonna happen? What's about to happen?
I mean, because before he came, I already paid for my food.
Oh wait,
what?
Yeah, because I already ate. I was waiting for him, so I was like, oh, I'll get another drink.
Right.
He ordered all this food and drinks, and the bill just sat there, and I was looking at it like.
Like, uh-huh.
And he kept talking, and he's like, all right, well, after, and then afterward, I think he had to leave or something. Homeboy left me with the bill.
What? That's trifling.
Hey, Tika, great to see you.
Yeah.
Gotta go. I gotta go.
Maybe he needed, you know, I don't know. I was just like, you gonna let this bill just sit? Like, I was like, I'm not gonna pick it up. You gonna pick it up? And then literally he had to go. And
oh, no.
Had to go, unquote.
And I paid for everything. And I was just like, I had one extra drink.
No, that's all I had. No.
So you clearly never saw
this person again.
No, I know him. Still,
well, but that's not the same thing.
I called my sister. I was like, girl. Can you believe that I just paid this? She was like, that's crazy.
And you can't, I mean, this is the.
And there might have been a chance for us,
right,
too.
Right.
No, not after that.
Not after that.
He had a shot.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't have met up with him if I didn't think, oh, I remember that. That was cute. Oh,
yes.
No.
Sir.
Turns out.
Sir.
I hope you're happy with whatever you got going on.
Right.
Because I'm sitting here with a radiant. Like, pregnant woman who paid your bill.
Yes.
Oh God.
You better come due. Yeah. Come due.
Yeah. So that was that.
Okay. So thanks for sharing that. We share nothing. Oh wait. I just gonna say really quickly. Like, I've had some really bad dates, but I just have things I know to avoid.
Right.
And more, my thing is not so much about like having a bad date experience. It's about like knowing what not to do when you think you're going to have. And a lot of it is knowing what to do when you show up.
Yes.
Like just being prepared to just shut it down. I meet at a place and then we decide whether we're going to eat first or like eat later.
Do you?
We get a drink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, suddenly.
There was always the possibility. I'm hungry.
Because you're like, I want this to be extended.
Right.
Yeah, the possibility for more. But you're not trapped.
You have earned food.
You have earned food.
You have moved on to round two.
Yeah, I was going to say, unlock, like achievement unlocked. Round two. Dinner.
Yeah. No, that is true.
And then it can keep going.
Yeah, I would advise everybody going on a date where you're not sure. Meet at a prior location.
It's always good to have like a contingency plan to be like, oh, it's my friend's birthday. Like real or false, doesn't matter. Just to have something you can say.
No, you don't even have to do that.
Yeah.
No.
I don't lie.
Please.
No. Jenna.
You do not. I don't lie. This is your life. Okay.
What you do is
you go and you say, we're having let's have drinks. And if it's drinks, then we have it. If it's one, it's okay. You leave.
Yep.
You do not need an excuse, so don't do that anymore.
The one lie I will say is this was great. I had a great time. I'll talk to you later.
That's just being cordial. That's good home training.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you so much and have an awesome night.
Right.
And then you move on.
And then sigh and go
There's
home.
Nothing better than getting out of a bad date. It is the most. It is like, I've never been to prison. I quit. Like, it's as close as I'm going to get is a date where you get out like 3 hours earlier without having to spend any money.
It's just such a relief, man. You know? And then to not be like, oh, I had something else I had to do.
Right. I don't want to lie.
You don't need to lie.
Right. Thank you for coming and telling the truth. Tika Sumpter.
No problem.
Congratulations.
What a pleasure.
Southside with you.
Out now. Go see it.
The Have and Have Nots.
Yes. It's on.
It's on right now. The current season is happening.
Yes.
It's happening.
And you can also watch old episodes of Gossip Girl, which I like to do.
Yes.
The OG, Raina Thorpe, one of my favorite characters.
Oh, I love this show. I love it.
So you can always revisit those.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Still Processing. We want to hear from you, listeners. Our phone number is 405-45-VIBES or 405-458-4237.
That is the Jennaest phone number of all time. 45 vibes.
45 vibes.
Come get those vibes.
Vibes for sale, always. Okay.
Our show is a product of the New York Times. It's produced by Jenna Weiss-Berman, Henry Malofsky, and Max Linsky from Pineapple Street Media, with editorial oversight from Lisa Tobin. Thanks also to Emily Becker and Samantha Hennig. You can find all our episodes
and links to follow us
at newyorktimes.com.
Okay, nytimes.com/stillprocessing. We'll see you next week.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.